This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 60, interview with Laszlo from Montreal. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 60th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we have a special guest. It's Laszlo of Montreal. And Laszlo has been on our show before, where he talked about his well-known Paul Anka portrait. And today we're going to deconstruct another one of his photographs. And it's going to be a really good learning podcast, because this photograph that we're going to deconstruct has a lot of elements to it. Laszlo will talk about panning and shutter speed and balancing the flash with the background. And it's a really, really good learning photograph. So I hope you find it of interest. Before we actually get into it, I'd like to thank a few people for their comments on our last podcast, where we talked about HDR with our great, great interviewee, Joseph Cartwright. And we got quite a few comments. And I'd like to thank Stephen Kay, Susan, Michael Vandertal, Langdon9720, Ishak, Frank, and Gary H. for their comments on the podcast. I also got loads of emails. People really did love that podcast, and it makes me really pleased. If you haven't heard it and you're at all interested in HDR, I recommend you go back and check out podcast 59. As always, the best way to get these podcasts is by subscribing. Just go to the front page of our blog, photography.ca/blog, and just click on subscribe, and you'll get it every time we put one out if you have Google Reader or iTunes or any podcatcher of choice. Of course, you can email us directly at photography.ca@gmail.com. And of course, you can post anything you like in the forums as well. And it's more than my pleasure to share and answer questions. That's what we do around here. So without further ado, let's get right into the interview with Laszlo now. So I'd like to welcome back Laszlo to our podcast. Laszlo was on our podcast last time, where he talked about the lighting he used in the Paul Anka portrait. And I'm going to put a new link to that in the show. But today we're going to talk about another one of Laszlo's portraits, and we're going to learn a little bit about the lighting that he used. But before we do, I'd like to welcome back Laszlo. Welcome back to our podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for agreeing to do this. So for this podcast, I thought we would talk about one of your shots where you photographed a pretty well-known gentleman named Mr. Weston, and I thought we could talk about the lighting that you used. If people are listening, they'll have to go to podcast number 60, and we'll have a picture of the one that we're talking about now. But if you wouldn't mind describing a little bit the lighting that you used in this portrait, Laszlo, it would be appreciated.
Yes, well, this particular photograph, it's an old technique called panning. Panning technique using slow shutter speed results in unsharp blurring of the background. And that can be quite interesting. The subject moved, in my case, in front of me, and I panned. That is, I moved along with him, and with a little fill-in flash-in, I would further freeze the subject, Mr. Weston himself, and let the background blurred from this panning. So this is, otherwise it would be a very, very banal snapshot, but with this panning technique, it can be quite interesting, as you can tell.
Do you recall what shutter speed you would have used for this shot?
Yes, indeed. I did, even though I don't have it recorded, but I have it recorded in my mind. I was still using film then. It was like about 9 years ago. For the record, I only turned digital about 3 years ago. you can imagine.
Yeah.
And with people like this gentleman here, you don't have too many retakes. If I can recall it, I may have taken three photographs, but he only walked by me once. So I've been practicing this panning technique for many years. It's a simple technique, but I tell you, anyone can do it, but it takes a lot of practice. So I suppose I just based my doing this on my previous experiences, and with a little luck, I was in the ballpark right with the first shot. So as for the shutter speed, it was like 15th of a second, probably 2.8 with a 35mm focal length lens.
And you would have taken the background lighting exposure as well into consideration upon choosing that shutter speed, is that correct?
Well, absolutely. I would balance the background lighting. As you can tell, there are no particular shadows from the camera. It looks natural to the eyes. So basically, I measured background light, the available light in this particular environment, and I just balanced it with my flash, and it's as simple as that.
And what would have happened had you chosen a different shutter speed? Let's say you would have chosen 1 over 30 or 1 over 60, or let's say you would have gotten much slower.
This is interesting. Your question is rather interesting for someone that hasn't been through this as many times as I did.
Exactly.
Well, you know, today with a digital camera, it would be quite simple. Let's say I would have gone 30th of a second. It would have knocked down the back. You see, he would always be well exposed because the flash decides every time the exposure on the person. But the background, the environment would go down. Each stop you stop down, it would go down a stop. So it would be 100% less light if would I have used a 30th instead of 15th. If I would have used 60th or maybe a 125th, by the time I would get to 125th, the background would be almost totally dark, you see? So the higher I would crank my speed up, step by step, with each step up, the background would have reduced itself to, at some point, to total darkness.
And given that...
Where he would have always been well exposed. And so by the time, should I have used twice or three or four times the speed that I used here, what would have happened, as the background would go darker and darker, that I would have lost the effect of that motion in the background, the blurredness in the background, because you couldn't tell. Once it gets darker, the panning effect would be lost.
And given that this is an environmental portrait, and you know he is the owner of this supermarket chain, you know the background was obviously very important for the effect of the photograph.
Well, you can, this is it. I could have go maybe eighth of a second or fourth of a second. But exactly for the reason that you just said, we still have the idea where we were. We see that it's a grocery store, a main Loblaw store in Toronto. You can still tell. So you see, I could have blurred them fruit and vegetables behind or around the person, but then it would have been unrecognizable. So you see, this is what you have to make a decision: how far you want to blur the background, and or how light. I chose to show the background basically what I would see with my eyes, as for clarity, and as for blurredness. Well, I just blurred it a little bit so you could still tell, but it blurred. You see, there is a lady on the right doing some shopping, so this wasn't manipulated by any computer in any which way. As I told you 9 years ago, I was not even thinking of getting into digital photography. And so you see, I was lucky enough to choose this shutter speed and the speed of my motion that the lady is not recognizable. We don't have to ask her for her permission to appear anywhere, because she could never recognize herself even. So that way, but the main subject, so this way, actually it was a fortunate accident that lady happened to be browsing there, shopping there, because otherwise it would have been, it gives me a second element. It sort of balances the picture. But the sharpness on the main subject, on Mr. Weston, it draws the eyes to him, because the lady is blurred beyond recognition.
Agreed. Quick question. You say you probably shot this at 1 over 15th of a second, And normally when we shoot someone at 1/15 of a second without flash, they would be blurry. Again, for those that may not know, I know the answer, of course, and many of our listeners do, but many of them don't. Why is he sharp even though you shot at 1/15 of a second?
Yeah, it's because the flash itself, you see the flash on an average, it goes off at maybe 5/5000 of a second or something.
Yeah, I've heard that too. 1/5000 or 1/10000. Yeah.
Oh, so it freezes the subject even if the subject moves in that moment. So now you just have to combine it with practice. How much do you have to move along with the subject with the moving subject? Because he's not the only one who was moving. I was moving with him. So what I said earlier, I was panning. I aimed a camera at him, focused on him. And as he was moving at a normal space, I asked him to look toward, to look at me, and then at some point when I saw that he was framed as he was where I wanted him to be, then I would squeeze the shutter button without stopping my panning with him. So in other words, to not jerk the camera. I would not stop the moment I would press on this button. I would keep going. I would press on it and keep going. I did this a few times, but it turned out that the first shot was the best. So like I say, even with practice, you still need a little luck.
For sure, for sure. And just again, so we're clear, you had to move with this subject in order for him to appear sharp. Had you, even though the flash is at 1/10000th of a second or 1/5000th of a second, had your camera been on a tripod, he would have been sharp for a portion of the photo, but then he might have been blurry at the end of the photo where the ambient exposure might have kicked in. Is that correct?
Well, you see, a tripod in a case like this wouldn't have helped a great deal because you're not looking for technical perfection to that point. You're looking for a blurred shot.
Yeah.
Of the environment, basically, but showing him sharp and showing the environment a little bit blurred. So for him to show a little motion and at the same time, it makes him stand out from this jamboree of all kinds of things that you find in a grocery store. So basically, it isolates him from this cluttered environment, you see? So would I have left everything sharp, then you would hardly know what to look at when you would see this image. But this way, you see, your eyes are forced to look at him because he is sharp and everything else is pleasantly blurred. But we still can tell that where it was taken at.
I completely agree. And I think it's actually the combination of elements, the panning technique plus the slow shutter speed, plus the luck that you had a woman in the shot, altogether makes, for me at least, makes it very successful and makes the shot more complex than it might initially appear. You have to have all the elements working together to get a shot like this. Had one of the elements been out of sync, it might not have been as effective.
Well, this is where there is a saying, it might not be totally appropriate, but preparedness met opportunity.
Yes.
So basically, all my life, I've been prepared for it. So naturally, the luck was there nearby, and I was able to pull it through without having to ask him to walk by me 3-4 times. Probably he would have done it twice, but I don't think I would have asked him the third time. In this case, I didn't even have to do that. So it was nice because in the end he thanked me and saying that this was nice and easy, Laszlo. This is how I like it. Thank you very much. So, of course, my work wasn't finished because I was still uptight because I haven't seen the film. As I told you earlier, it wasn't digital. I couldn't consult the LCD back on a digital camera. So I had to wait till the film was processed. And very anxiously, coming back from Toronto, you know, waiting a couple of days before the film was processed, and then look at it. Were his eyes open? Did I choose the right shutter speed? Did I pan it fast enough, yet slow enough? So all these things. So at some point, I just had to block my mind to not to get overly
anxious
about this.
Yes.
And leave it in the hand of my fate, you know. So it worked out. So like I say, it's much easier today because I can consult my camera, you know, and I can see precisely what's happening. But you see, the digital thing is not the end of the world as much as it makes my life easier now. Actually, I haven't shot a film for the last 3 years. For the first 6 months, when I picked up a digital camera, I still was using some films here and there. I said, I felt like I need to have a backup. But then I soon realized that was ridiculous. That's not how the backup is supposed to be made. Either I go digital or I stay filmed.
That's it.
So I think I made the right choice. And so I did this kind of photography gives me some excitement because as much as it looks like a snapshot, there is a lot of thought that goes into it. Probably a whole life experience.
I would absolutely agree. So I'd like to thank Laszlo so much for doing this. It's always a treat to learn from a master who's done this many, many times before. Laszlo already has some photographs on our site, and I'm going to put some links to it. But if you want to check out some of Laszlo's own work on his own site, he has many, many pictures spanning quite a while, actually. It's laszlomontreal.com, L-A-S-Z-L-O, Montreal.com, all one word. And a link, again, will go in the show notes. So thank you so much for agreeing to do this, Laszlo. And hopefully we can do this again in the future as well.
Great. Thank you, Marco.
Thanks, Laszlo. And I'd like to thank Laszlo one last time for sharing his information with us, for deconstructing that really cool image. I know for some advanced amateurs or pros, this may have been a repetition in a way, but we can never refresh ourselves with good techniques too many times. So I hope it was of use to you, even though you may have already known how to do this technique. Quite a few people have signed up to the bulletin board or forum since our last podcast, and that makes me really happy. We're sharing, we're giving new critiques, so I do encourage people to come on in and join and share what they know and get critiques and give information. It's how we build our knowledge base around here. And if you want to participate in one of the assignments this month, one of the main assignments is warm and cozy. Given that it's so darn frigid out there, we thought we'd make a warm and cozy theme. And there have already been a few posts, but we can always use more. So feel free to upload a photo and participate. Thanks so much, everyone. I have a couple of review podcasts coming up where I'm going to review some calibration equipment and some fine art printing papers. So that's to come in the very near future. As always, even though it's cold, dress warm, get out there. Winter is a great photographic opportunity. So if you bundle up nice and get out there, you'll have shots that you can only take during this cold and gruesome winter. Thanks for listening, everyone. And as always, just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now.